diam dan agar menghidup di masa lalu. And now when I'm here, I can't believe it. You have my poor at 3 o'clock in the morning, flu and as many things to come to grow, flu. And now we are here, and now we know. We have to pray so that the doors to Vrindavan will open. We have to pray to Vrinda Devi that the doors will open. But I think it will happen because the first devotee, first disciple of mine whom I saw, no, that was Gokulananda, the bliss of Gokula. So that's very good. Then the second disciple was Vrinda Devi, who holds the eternal Vrinda Devi holds the keys to Vrindavan Dham in her things, in her key locket. These are very auspicious signs. And then the dust of Vrindavan is on my forehead. It means soon I will have only spiritual thoughts. And then I can see all of you. And I'm very, very happy to see you. And the reason being that I'm quite a long time now in India, and did not see you, so you are reminding me of my service to Krishna. Seeing you is for me ecstasy, because it means a wonderful and very personal opportunity to serve Krishna by assisting you in your spiritual life. It's very ecstatic. And in the time when we were in Bombay, I believe for 6 weeks, I was praying, oh, when can I do my devotional service again? Now I'm just in treatment. But my dear Lord, I want to serve you. So you are reminding me of service, which is very nice. We will have this evening around 6 o'clock and meeting it. Has thought very much what I would explain during the meeting, so I do hope that all of you will be very awake. I'm thinking a little bit of Daya Sindhu, who made so much austerity to come here. Maybe you want to sleep in the kitchen? Not now. I was thinking very deeply about this one point which I have in my mind. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, I'm sorry. Srila Prabhupada once described a dream which he had. In this dream, he said he saw a ship filled with conditioned souls who were crossing the ocean of material existence. And before or when I was preparing our little meeting, I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we have the ship? We would form one department in this big ship. The ship would be Srila Prabhupada's ship. I would have a little department in that ship. And we would just stay together, chant, feast, and cross the ocean of material existence, never to return to this material world where only less intelligent people make plans to stay. I would think like this. Wouldn't it be nice? And then someone has difficulty and falls out of our little compartment, we would help him or her. Is there anything I can do? Is there anything within my power? And if we could develop this loving and caring mood, I think then there would be no person who would ever think of leaving this wonderful ship. And Maya would have no potency or power. So I was thinking about this when I remembered Prabhupada's dream. He said, and we were crossing the ocean of material existence, and there were some drunkards, he said. And the devotees said, what were they doing? Oh, said Prabhupada, we were all inviting them on the boat. And then the devotee said, but did some people fall from the boat in the ocean of material existence? Prabhupada said, no, the chanters are saved. They are in Krishna's list. So I was thinking if we could make true of this analogy, I'm first thinking of my disciples and then of the whole world. One has to start with real people. And I'm very much committed, or I want very much that we can make true of this dream. And for that end, I wanted to give this little program. What I'm saying today will be very deep for me and meaningful for me, but I need your cooperation. You will need to be a little awake. Also, we need a little bit, let me say, a few arrangements. We'll need to settle here. My mind is starting to come here. My body is only sitting here, so I need a little time. I would appreciate it if we just get into some organizational thing with the devotees who are helping me, and you come all rested and in good spirit at 6 o'clock to the apartment, which has been arranged so nicely by Wayne and Jane. You all know where this apartment is? It will be loud after that. I mean, or you will hear after some. 81, you said. A1. That's easy to remember. So happy to see all of you, and more this evening. Is Corinna auch hier? Ja, die war ja auch gerade. Hier ist auch Emily. Vijay Goranga has good to Mayapur. Wow, you are not afraid? A little bit. What will happen? But you should pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He will arrange. Sridhar will try to go to the Gurukul, and he needs all of our blessings. So, Hare Krishna. I will quickly go and take darshan of the deities and then take showers and all kinds of things. Hare Krishna. So it was a very meaningful trip for me, which I had looked for since a very, very long time. I always wanted to see this place high in the Himalayas, because as a young devotee I had heard that this place is a place where the Bhagavatam was compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, and this is a place where in another incarnation of Krishna called Naranarayan Rishi are performing austerity. Now we all know that we are kept in this world by our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Austerity and Krishna consciousness are meant to cut this bondage to the material world. And because it's so difficult for us to do austerity, therefore the Lord personally appears and form Naranarayan Rishi, and they teach how to perform austerity. So it's actually indescribable the beauty of this place. I expected a rough area with snow and so on. I found the most beautiful Himalaya landscape which you can imagine. And it's a long, long pilgrimage which hopefully will appear in a book. I've taken notes and want to publish that. But I see myself in my inner eye walking through the Himalaya mountain towards this waterfall called Vasudhara, all alone. And I was feeling two times that in fact I was not alone, but I was watched. And one time I could see a yogi, a mystic yogi, who appeared before my eyes, smiled, and then disappeared. And I knew that Hare Krishna, Krishna, come. It will be cold outside. Vrindavan nights are now becoming colder. So I saw that there were many yogis who were watching at us very, very distinctly. It was a very sublime feeling. Then we went to take darshan of the Lord. There's one self-manifested Narayan deity, and then deities of Naranarayan Rishi. And their darshan is wonderful. And they have manifested, this Narayan deity manifested from a Srila. He's lived it. And he's worshipped every morning by the pujaris. And you can see each phase of the worship. You can see how they do aratis, how they do abhishekas, how they chant the mantras, and for every mantra offer like a handful of tulasi flowers until the day is covered with tulasi. You can see how they offer different foodstuffs, they bring the different deities out for you like this to see. And then they chant your name, that this offering is made from Sachinandan Swami from the Achyuta Gotra. You have to give your Gotra, your family line. And it was a very moving and devotional experience. Really. They covered the whole deity in sandalwood at one stage, they took it all off, and I got to leave the box of the sandalwood. It was very personal, and we all felt drawn into the personal worship of Lord Narayan more than I can really explain. Difficult. There are so many impressions, and now I'm trying to give you the impression. Take this impression. It's early in the morning, 4 o'clock. Someone knocks at your door. You come up, and you ask who, and someone says, "Garam pani, garam pani." That means hot water. Then you open the door, and a mountain person comes and puts the water into your bucket, and then he says, "Rupees, rupees, rupees." And then we do your rupees, and then we came back from the and then we took our shower, and then we went for the first darshan. By that time you're already totally cold again, but then there are 2 hot springs before the temple. High in the mountain, and some of the mountains are snow capped, and then you take your bath at first one hot bathing tub, then you go to the second hot bathing tub, and then you can go, if you are very adventurous, into the Alaknanda River. That's the one name of the Ganga which flows there. But you have to hold fast to a chain, because the Mother Ganga gets very temperamental. It might take you down to Rishikesh. So after you have taken the 3 baths, you're ready to go before the Lord of the Universe, Narayan Rishi, who's worshipped at the source of the Gita within her. A very, very, very nice prayer. Wow. You feel really the atmosphere is totally different there. So we went to Badrikashrama. It was very difficult to reach there, because just when we came, the road opened again. There was a mountain slide and backwards. And just when we came, the road opened again. And just before we left, another mountain came down. The Lord was not willing to let us go. So we took our pot out, like you do in India, from the jeep, and then cooked the khichdi and ate prasadam, because when you eat prasadam, everything becomes clear. And then what became clear to us is that we had to give our luggage to all the coolies. There were a few coolies. They were carrying it over another mountain, and we were just crossing the mountain by foot, and then entering into another jeep. And it was a real spiritual adventure. So after Badrikashram, which really would take 3 hours to discuss, we went down to Bombay for the Panchakarma treatment. That was an Ayurvedic treatment, and in the treatment they took all the metta out of my body, every cell, and now I'm supposed to fill it up if I get enough prasadam, to build up the body for what was taken. And I think it was wonderful, the treatment, but it was a very deep treatment, and deep things you cannot just blurt out, "Oh, it was successful." It will take some time to manifest more and more. But I feel very healthy and very happy to have taken that treatment. Then we went to Sridharmayapur, where we took the Pancha Tattva treatment. one of our favorite places which we, I mean, it became one of my favorite places. This Kanainata Shala, where we had wonderful darshan of deities. Hare Krishna! I have waited for this since 3 years. No, don't lie. 3 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, don't be dirty. Come. Also, no one will dare to play the madanga if you are around. So, I wanted to show you a photo which we took of that. But where did we put the photo? This is Kanainata Shala. Kanainata Shala is a place situated very beautifully on the Ganga, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw for the first time Radha and Krishna. I will tell you the last time when I give my little presentation. But it is so beautiful, it is called in our Vaishnava division Gupta Vrindavan or Hidden Vrindavan. We went, I believe, 2 hours on the steamer up the Ganga, and we had a Govardhan celebration on top of the boat. I sometimes saw, I don't know if you all saw, that there were dolphins who were coming and looking at our Govardhan puja. I mean, it was so romantic and so idyllic. It was really out of this world. We went also to Ramakeli, the place where Rupa and Sanatana Goswami lived. And we saw a footprint of Lord Chaitanya, which he had personally imprinted in a stone. Because Rupa Goswami said, "My Lord, so that people will believe you that you were here, please put your foot on the stone and make it melt in ecstasy." And we saw that footprint. Put our simple heads on it. So after this journey which we took together with Radhanath Maharaj and 400 congregational members, it was really, how would I say, a deep spiritual experience. We were considering to invite you, Ajiva, come, but then we heard the condition. If you would say one word of Panchayapa during the week, you were not allowed to come next time. I said 10 words of Panchayapa. I counted them, but I said to Maharaj, please keep a secret. So it was, they really tried to make like an atmosphere where not even one one thing ever, but it was human tonight, I think it was not impossible. There were maybe 1 million words of Prajapa on the tour, which went unnoticed. But this was the condition when it started. So we were all afraid, are we qualified, yes or no? that was very nice. And now we are in Vrindavan, and I thought we would make a little meeting this evening in where we would just talk about important things. I've presented a lecture. I will talk about the Rasa again this evening. And you will not believe your ears. then I have prepared a written message to all my disciples. Tomorrow morning it starts to be present in the disciple conference in the Ankom, but today will be the first day where it is read. I've written this in Bombay to all of you, so you will be hearing it. And then you have many things that might become a real spontaneous evening. And then we don't know when we stop. So we thought it would be best to celebrate our little get-together by just worshipping Lord Damodar in the Damodar Rasta Temple. But I have to see are the lights ready? Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit to you about such a culture which I personally find very inspiring and important in our Krishna consciousness. I wanted to talk about the Rasa Dance. Now, when devotees hear the Rasa Dance, they usually have there are two types of devotees. I know that in Vrindavan, to talk about such things, it's extremely natural and wonderful. Some devotees will greet with such a matter of spirit, enthusiasm. Other devotees will feel, these are the most confidential subject matter. Should we really discuss them? I think that today I will present the subject, in a way which comes as a surprise for both devotees. The first devotee who likes to hear such things very much and prefers to hear them only will be surprised, and also the conservative devotee who is, hesitant to hear and talk about the subject will be surprised. And I think that most of all, my disciples will be surprised. So with this introduction, everyone thinks this will be interesting. Let us see. In Govinda Bhumi, there are two places this time which inspired me to talk today on this subject. Now I will first check if the tape recorded, because this will be important. This is going. Who watches this tape recorder? You go look. And you have another tape recorder. You will watch this. That it doesn't run out. Good. There were two places which I felt very inspired. One was Tanay Natanshala and the other Shiva Sangam. See, Tanay Natanshala is important for the Gaudiyas because of one very specific reason. You know that Lord Chaitanya played the role of a scholar who was just debating and discussing. Sometimes he would make a point and then ask all the scholars, is there anyone who can defeat this point? They all hung on their heads. How can you be so unintelligent and believe what I just said, said Lord Chaitanya, that he defeated his own point? Then he looked around and said, so what I've just said, is there anyone who can defeat it and show that it is wrong? Then the scholars said, no, you are running so well. Lord Chaitanya said, you are fool. What I said in the beginning was correct. And in this way, he played around and showed that he was the master of all logic and intelligence, and established the stage for the Sankhya movement, which would give up jnana and just dive into the ocean of the chanting and dancing of the holy name. Now, The devotees in Navadvipa, they're very afraid to meet Lord Chaitanya, but he said, one day I will show you that I am the greatest devotee. Even Lord Brahma and Vishnu will bow down to me. And he made a thought, offense, even Brahma and Shiva are supposed to bow down. And then Lord Chaitanya did something. He said, let me go to Gaya. I have to offer some vinaya, some sacrifices for my beloved father, Jagannath Mishra, who has unfortunately found an early death. That's a long, long train ride. He said, I will go to Gaya, and there I will offer Vinaya for Jagannath Mishra and my deceased friend. So he went to Gaya, he went into the temple of Gadadhara, the name of Vishnu, Gadadhara, the ruler of the cloud. And he heard how the Brahmana said, oh fortunate people of the world, come all and look at the footprint which Vishnu had left when he came here to wash his feet. Come. Lord Chaitanya entered the temple. He saw the lotus footprint of Lord Vishnu. He stepped down before it, and then tears started to manifest from his eyes, so that everyone thought Mother Ganga had personified within this garment suit and cried. Then, at that moment, Ishvara Puri came and saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was known then as Nimai Pandit, and he said, I'm so fortunate to see you. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I am fortunate to see you because I will ask you for the boon of Diksha, of initiation. There are many leelas and many pastimes around this, but I want to not take too much of your time. This brings the point to the main point. It is described that the love of Lord Chaitanya was at that time in its budding state, that is, not fully developed, as it was for us. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he felt very much restless. He wanted to meet Krishna, and he left all his companions and he went to Vrindavan. He marched to Vrindavan until he heard a voice from the sky. The voice told him, O best of the Brahmana, you will not go to Vrindavan. So at this time, please return to Navadvipa. We, your servants, are telling you this. That's a bit of that. And the Rajasanya stopped going to Vrindavan, but he went to Kanainatha Shala. Kanainatha Shala was a place at that time, the paintings of Krishna were exhibited. So Lord Chaitanya went there. And there, under a tamar tree, he saw Lord Krishna standing there, blue, and he thought Lord Chaitanya smiled. Then he stayed and he ran towards Lord Chaitanya and embraced him. Mahaprabhu was looking, and he was afraid by Krishna.
loving that he's poised at a high Krishna. But he remains in a prudent position. So then he went on to Narmatri. And after he met all his relatives, told them how the pilgrimage was, he went into the temple and he began to cry. His mother did not know what to do with him. He had said to everyone his pilgrimage was successful, but now he was in the temple all alone, crying. And she did not know what to think of it. Some devotees came, said, "Why are you crying?" Vajikama said, "Tomorrow I will tell you what is in my heart. Tomorrow come at the house of the Shukla Bara, the Brahmachari." So the news spread quickly amongst the Vaishnava community. See, they had a meeting place. I understand that when TV built a meeting place for young teenagers and young girls who want to get to know each other, and the news spread who's in town and who isn't, and so on. Or, you know, there are all these places for human societies where they can meet. So the Vaishnavas had one meeting place. It was in the house of Shiva. There was a tree which had directly a vine, it's called, which had directly come from below Kabirdhara. They were going there every day and they picked flowers from there. The amazing thing was, no matter how many flowers they picked, no flower started to come. The same amount. It never exhausted itself. I was thinking when I was checking in Ekachakya and Lama, there was one temple that was going. There was always one Brahmana every time in the morning at the early around 7 o'clock. He went to a tree and he shook the tree. Then the flowers came down and then he picked up the flowers and use the worship of Lord Nityananda. So they had this vine, but this vine kept on producing flowers. So you see, it's in the Nima Tanya was coming back from Gaya and was crying tears of ecstasy. Should it be that the arrogant scholar finally has become a devotee? Should it be? We can't believe it. But he said tomorrow he will tell what's in his mind. So let us quickly do our puja with these flowers and then go to the place which he has designated. It's the place of Shukla Bharata Brahmachari. So they all went to this place, to the house. And there Lord Chaitanya told of his experience. "I came to Kanayanatha Shala," he said, "and I found the treasure of my heart, but then I lost. Don't know if you can follow it. Something or someone who is very important to you. You meet him or her, and then you lose that person. How much intense pain you have. Or in Giriraj, you have found after long prayers Giriraj. Imagine by some inconceivable plan of the Lord, you would lose him. You would become mad. You would travel 10 times a day from Vrindavan to Delhi and back to Vrindavan to find him somewhere. Then you have maybe placed him down and then left on. Isn't it? If we find someone or something which we really treasure very much and then it's lost, it will be going wild." The Lord Chaitanya said, "So from that moment on, I'm only looking for Krishna. Krishna is There's only Krishna in my mind, in my words. When I see things, I'm looking for Krishna." So the reason why I tell this is to draw your attention to the fact in Gaya, the love of Krishna was in the Kupalyat, Diva, how do you say it? Kupalyat? But, Kupalyat. 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 Yes, that. You've forgotten this word. It was in the budding stage in Gaya. But in Tanai Natashala, it became fully bloomed. And this particular mood of Lord Chaitanya's mood of Krishna consciousness was born there. There is the viraha bhav of the mood of separation. When he came to Navadvipa, he started his sankirtan movement. He started the movement of where are you, Krishna? This is the mood. In this mood he came to Navadvipa, and in this mood he started the sankirtan at Shiva Sangam, the regular meetings. Just like we have now a meeting where we sing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Now we have a meeting where we only want to talk in family. Also Lord Chaitanya started this movement where he first only wanted to talk in the family of his associates. He personally locked the door that no outsiders could come out. And started the Sankirtan movement, and then the devotees were convinced and enriched in Krishna consciousness. Then he opened the door and sent them out for Sankirtan all over Navadvipa, now all over the world. So please remember from what we have said so far that Lord Chaitanya had a transformation in his lila from the arrogant scholar to the devotee who was looking for Krishna in the mood of transcendental separation. This is the Sankirtan movement. Please remember this story. Yes, it is a story, a development. Now, it is very interesting if you study the Rasa Leela of Lord Krishna that you will rediscover the same mood again. Can I tell you there's something you're missing? So I would like to read to you a little bit from the 10th canto. In the Nectar of Devotion I have found many places where the special full moon of the Sharad season is mentioned. In Vrindavan, this full moon happened at the time to watch the full moon here in Vrindavan. It was beautiful, or is beautiful. It's the most beautiful night in the year, and it has become all about the tourist attraction even. And the tourists like to go to the Taj Mahal, which is a little romantic, and then see the full moon reflecting on the white marble of the Taj Mahal. It is beautiful. So when Krishna, who is very, very expert, observed this full moon, a very sweet desire evoked in his heart. He went to the bank of the Yamuna under a tree, the Mata tree, and began to call on the gentleman to put the gopi, his most dear devotee. Now when the gopis heard Krishna calling on his flute, in the midst of the forest, he was in the midst of the forest on the bank of the Yamuna, they
they are busy with the household duties, is described. Some the cooking, others the cleaning, others the taking care of the little children. But everyone left everything behind to follow the call of Krishna and come and meet him under the Bhaktivinoda tree. It is described that there were some gopis who were detained. Their husbands and relatives were standing before the door with a stick. Don't go! Because no respectable lady will leave the darkness that provides the house. And it is described that although the gopis were detained, somehow or other they met Krishna. Some of them had so much hankering and longing for Krishna that they gave up their bodies and went in their spiritual bodies to meet Krishna. By giving up their bodies with this intense longing to meet Krishna, they burned up all their karma. These were the gopis who had come from the material world for the first time to join in Krishna's transcendental lila. Other gopis were apparently lying next to the husband in the bed. The husband really thought our wives are with us, but they left and just went in the 20th of May to meet Krishna at the Yamuna. They left their bodies next to the husband and went to meet Krishna. Now this is very remarkable. In order to, we would like to learn something from this, we can understand that to meet Krishna means to give up the other household obligations, the other worldly things in which we are trapped, our own plans, our own desires. And then, and only then, we will be able to meet Krishna in a transcendental way. This is very remarkable, and I would like to draw your attention to it. The verse from Rupa Goswami, which says, the love of the gopis and the love of Srimati Radharani is amazing, like a forceful river which has crossed through the hills of the relatives. It has teared down the bridges of social convention, and it has finally met the ocean, which is Krishna. Now, so they met Krishna, and at the time when they came to meet Krishna, they let me see. Krishna said, what do you want to do here in the midst of the night? This is highly immoral. You are all young girls. Why do you come to me in the midst of the night? Society will reject you. And the gopis there. Now Krishna saying this. First he calls us and then he sends us back. He was extremely cruel. So some of them began to cry. Others made their whole circle in the sand of Vrindavan. And others began to look like this. So Krishna joked with them and said, oh, you're looking at the tree. It must be that you want to see the natural beauty of my Vrindavan forest. Gopis did not know what to answer. And then they just broke out. I mean, they said, oh, all-powerful one, you should not speak in this cruel way. You're cruel. Do not reject us who have renounced all material enjoyment to render devotional service to your lotus feet.
recite the taste of that, O stubborn one. Just as the primeval Lord Sri Narayan reciprocates with his devotees in their endeavors for liberation. In other words, they said, why you call us, then we come, and then you just play neutral. O stubborn one, reciprocate. And then he said, you said it's not good for chaste wives to leave their husbands in the dead of night. They said, we agree that this principle is valid. It's okay what you said. But actually, this service should be rendered to you. After all, O Lord, you are the dearmost friend of all embodied souls. You are their most intimate relative, indeed, their very self. The gopis, in other words, said, yes, religious principles is all right, but you are our husband. You are the Lord of every living entity. I remember Prabhupada was once meeting a person who said, I don't believe in Krishna because he's so immoral. He called all the young unmarried girl for meeting him in the forest of Vrindavan and dancing with them. And Prabhupada became very serious and he said, how many women do you have? And the man was shocked. He said, of course, only one. I'm moral. And Prabhupada became very pious. He said, you are a rascal. You have stolen this woman which you call your own from Krishna. Krishna is the husband of all living entities. You have kidnapped him. It's almost like as if someone would kidnap Gaurangi. Then Bhagavad Dharma would be justified in saying this is not a religious principle. This is not Bhagavad Dharma. he would immediately make a heavy point to this person. So Prabhupada said, you have stolen from Krishna. So yes, and the gopis continued very nicely. I want to read to you. Therefore, O vanquisher of all distress, please show us mercy to approach your lotus feet. We abandoned our families and homes, and we have no desire other than to serve you. Our hearts are burning with intense desires generated by your beautiful smiling glances. O jewel among men, please make us your maid servant. So the gopis had such a selfless mood of service that we have no other desire to serve you. Will you please accept our service? Krishna smiled. First he looked at the moon and he then accepted the desire of the dearest devotees to serve him in the rasa dance. And as it described, he explained it in as many forms as there were gopis present, and he danced with all of them in the rasa dance. Now, rasa dance is a circle dance which has many interesting dance variations. It is described that sometimes the ragas and raginis can sing for Krishna, serving at the rasa dance. So, and in the middle of the rasa dance, Krishna danced with only Srimati Radharani. There was this larger circle. In the middle, Krishna is Srimati Radharani. And they danced in many, many fashions and many, many ways. And they were very, there were many beautiful pastimes. But all of a sudden, Radharani was not satisfied that Krishna showed attention to so many gopis.
And she left the Rasa there. When Krishna saw that Srimati Radharani left the Rasa there, he himself also did not feel satisfied and disappeared from the Rasa there when finally met Radharani. So when he disappeared from the Rasa there, all the other forms of Krishna with whom the gopis were dancing, they disappeared. And they were very sad and began looking for Krishna in the forms of Vrindavan. They saw the footprints of two types of footprints, and from this they figured out, oh, Krishna is together with one gopi who's very, very fortunate. Then they only saw half footprint. They thought, oh, now Krishna has stood on his toes and he has picked flowers and most properly decorated the hair of this gopi. And from the footprints, like experts in footprint reading, they could read the whole leela, all the leelas which were taking place. But then all of a sudden from Kunj, they heard a weeping, crying again. And they saw a lonely girl. It was Srimati Radharani who was crying. And they inquired from her what had happened, and she narrated that at one moment she had said to Krishna, please carry me, I'm fatigued, I'm tired. She had become a little proud that now she wanted to control Krishna a little bit, and then Krishna disappeared. Then the gopis gave up all the envy on this one gopi Radharani. They cry together, they're looking for Krishna, asking the trees, where is Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? Go to the bank of the Yamuna, and so on. And finally, after they found out that Krishna was not found by their own endeavors, they decided the only way to attract Krishna is to do sankirtan, to sing. And then a beautiful chapter starts. where they sing different songs for Krishna, calling out for him. And I think this is very particular, and I have two which I want to read out to you. I find it is very interesting also, because when you want to meet Krishna, you must chant Sankirtan, the glories of the holy name. This is the way to meet Krishna. So the gopis thought, I need to find this for you. Very beautiful songs. I will sing two songs to you, which you might like to sing along with that. Gavakatam ritam sapta jivanam kavibhiritam karma shapaham shravana mangalam shri madatatam ubi grinantiye puri dadana. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. They like the katha of Krishna. This is like the medicine for the suffering people. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. If you hear with attention and not with the mind going everywhere, then two things can be experienced by you. Sinful reactions can be taken away from you, and good, your fortune, your spiritual life will start. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. The gopis are your sankirtan devotees. They say, they are broadcast all over the world. You know, sankirtan PJ. And are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent, because they give what is most needed. When you are in a forest fire, what is most needed? Water, of course. So those who spread the message of Krishna are, according to the gopis, the greatest munificent, greatest welfare worker. The gopis praise here the preachers. It is interesting, isn't it? In the songs of separation, I find this is very remarkable and must be noticed by devotees who want to understand Krishna Leela. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once in Puri in the gardens after the Ratha Yatra. He was sweating and he was lying with eyes half closed, relishing the ecstasy of love of Godhead. At that time, an unusual devotee came. He was a little bit dressed like Dayasindhu in white, simple cloth, but he was a king. It was King Prataparudra, who was told by the devotees, you can meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he is resting after his dancing, but go with simple Vaishnava cloth. Mahaprabhu will accept you. When the king properly came, massaged his lotus feet and started to sing. Tamakatam mritam tapta jivanam kabiliritam kamashapaham don. And then Lord Chaitanya came out of this ecstasy, and he saw that you are most munificent, because you are distributing the nectar of Krishna Katha. And he embraced Lord King Prataparudra. He said, say it again, sing it again, sing it again. Mahaprabhu then recognized the beautiful. Sing it again. Then the gopis sang another verse. And that was when their separation from Krishna reached the highest point. This is a verse which Prabhupada liked to quote, and I want to quote it to you. Yate sujata charanam buruham staneshu vita shanai priyaradhi mahika kasheshu tena tavim matasita vyata tena kingsvet kurpa divir brahma kidir bhavata ayushanya. O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently, very carefully, on our breast, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about
on the forest path. Here you can understand the mood of the gopis serving to Krishna. They don't want to enjoy the service to Krishna. Their only thought is Krishna's enjoyment. Their anxiety is that, oh, Krishna's lotus feet might be hurt. Therefore, in our meeting, when we give pleasure to Sri Krishna, the only husband of all living entities, we are afraid that even our own bodies might hurt Krishna. Can you understand this amount of selfish love? It is impossible. Like I must say, Hare Krishna, welcome. I was very much praying to Lord Nityananda that my assistant had some pain in the foot. He got a big thorn in the foot. You know, a little before, we had quoted Narayan Bhatta, who said, I worship each thorn which comes in my foot, each thorn of Raj, I worship with more bliss than the bliss of Brahmananda multiplied by 1,000,000 times. In other words, he said, Rajmanda Paitram of the thorns which you get in your barefoot are million times more blissful than Brahma. But you're my servant. So I've got the thought of the feet. I must be in great anxiety and pray to Lord Nityananda to take away the pain and to give the foot back. At that time I was experiencing a little bit, oh, I'm praying here for a devotee. I've never prayed so much for my own health, and I felt very happy, because when you give up selfishness, life starts. So the gopis here are giving the perfect example. I mean, they gave this little example to bring it on, to make you understand. They are really thinking that Krishna's pleasure must be a guarantee. That's all what we want. This is why the love of the gopis can never ever be compared to the endeavors to what goes on in this world between man and woman. It is a total inconceivable concept. But this is the mood of the gopis. We are encouraged by Lord Chaitanya that the highest devotees of Lord Krishna are the gopis. What is their example? What do they give? Their example is the example of selfless service. And they say in particular, Tava Kaka Amita, to spread the message of Krishna to the miserable souls in this world, that this is the highest welfare activity. That's their mood. Devotees who come to Vrindavan, sometimes they want to become happy in the atmosphere of Vrindavan. Oh, finally, you know, some relief. Working has to go on, the peaceful chirping of the birds and a nice atmosphere of Vrindavan. But if they come with the idea to enjoy that, they will not be satisfied. You can see them, you meet them, their eyes are, although they read wonderful literature, but they are restless, unconcentrated, spiritually very weak, and not satisfied, not happy, because they have not understood the mood of following in the footsteps of the dear associates of Lord Krishna. I must say, the reason why I preach on this subject matter is because to understand Prabhupada, one needs to understand, and to understand Srila Prabhupada's movement, one needs to understand this point, especially now where there are different Gaudiya preachers who preach who are details different from Srila Prabhupada or his emphasis different from Prabhupada. It's very important to understand how our movement, or the ISKCON movement as Prabhupada made it, is what is the mood? Why is so much stress put on preaching and on helping the conditioned souls? The reason is because in order to make advancement in spiritual life, we need to follow the footsteps of the dearest devotees of Krishna, whose particular quality is one of selfless devotional service to the Supreme Lord. The gopis did not come and leave all their family and relatives behind because they wanted to enjoy. They came to give pleasure to Krishna. That is very difficult to understand for a conditioned soul, but it's very, very important. So then Krishna appeared finally before them, and it's a beautiful verse. When the gopis sang this song filled with separation, Krishna just couldn't remain hidden. Krishna tried to see what the gopis were really at. He appeared one time when they were looking for him as a four-armed Narayan form before the gopis who looked. But the gopis said, "Oh Narayan, namaste, namaste, where is Krishna? Have you seen Krishna?" They didn't even, you know, start arguing. Usually when you see God, you stand with an arati, you know, do some ceremony, but no, they only wanted Krishna. Finally, Krishna could not keep the devotees, the gopis waiting any longer, and he appeared to them. No, I want to read you this verse to relieve your tension. Tasam vasira butsori smayamana mukam buja itam baradara sagvi saksman manmata. Manmata is cupid jiva. Manmata. Man means the guy, mind. The womb and mata is he who bewildered. Or it means virtually to stir up. There was a song, "Love makes the world go round." But it's really love. Man mata is the cutest. But Krishna is man mata, man mata. That means he who bewilders is the cupid. One cupid came to bewilder Krishna and shot his arrows at him. It was during the Raga dance. But as he was aiming the arrows, the gopis' face started to appear before them because they were dancing so fast. he aimed at Krishna when he saw gopi, then Krishna, gopi, Krishna. And they were so beautiful. And they laughed and danced and so on. And Cupid fainted. Five times he fainted because his mind was... I think we all remember when we were young, how our minds were... Manmata, manmata. Maybe some of you are just newly married and they know this experience also, how the mind goes boom, and maybe sticks like a deer in the army, cannot extricate itself any longer. There is a powerful effect of Cupid, but he fainted when he saw it. So Krishna appeared like this. Then Lord Krishna, a smile on his lotus face. With Krishna, he always smiles. The gopis were crying songs of separation. Krishna had a smile on his lotus face. He appeared before the gopis, wearing a garland and a yellow garment. He directly appeared as one who can bewilder the mind of Cupid, who himself bewilders the mind of ordinary people. So Krishna appeared suddenly, smiling at the gopis. And then a very interesting dialogue took place. And Krishna, the gopis spread some of their clothing on the Yamuna stand, made an asan for Krishna, and said, please, please, yes. And then they asked for the critical question. They said, they felt unsatisfied because they had left everything. Came to Krishna in the dead of night, but Krishna disappeared. They thought this was not fair. Why had Krishna done this? You understand their mood? They thought, so they were very critical with Krishna, but they loved him so much, they're selfless, they couldn't say, why have you done this? But because they're very intelligent, they ask Krishna a question about the different kinds of lovers. They said, Krishna, there are three types of lovers. Whom do you consider supreme? The first lover is he, or she, the lover, who gives love in the degree the other person loves. Do you understand this type of thing? When someone loves you love him in the same degree, or you love someone because you want something from him. Like a politician, because I love you people. So this lover is conditional. No? He wants something in return. Then the second type of lover, Krishna, is he who does not want something in return. Even if he is not loved, he still loves. Like, for instance, a parent. Sometimes the children behave impossibly towards the parent, but the parent still loves. I can imagine your mother is such a person. Ishwari's mother is a wonderful person. Hopefully soon will be wonderful. Very good quality. She just gives without respecting anything. Now the third type of person is neutral. He doesn't care when he's loved. Doesn't make a difference to him in the world. Now, which of the three do you think is best? And they thought, now Krishna would have to say, I'm in the third category. And that means he's not so good. They wanted to, but they didn't want to say this to Krishna. You are in the third category. You're so neutral. You don't care for us and our love. They didn't want to say it because they loved him so much. They wanted Krishna to say it. So then Krishna gave a long, long answer. It's a long answer, He said, well, I want to talk about the neutral party, but there, I want to categorize them in three different groups, in four different groups. Four lovers are neutral, because Krishna picked up that they thought he is in the neutral category. He just doesn't care. One is the Atmarama, who's so satisfied in himself, he nothing can satisfy. The second is the Aptakama. Aptakama means all his desires are fulfilled. Like, for instance, when you have eaten, there is a time when all your desires for food are solved. And even if at that time, I think he has some devotees who like to take a lot of prasada, but even your wife comes, or your husband, and they take the sweet rice. Sorry. Mahapura means fully filled up. This is called the Aptakama. His desires have been fulfilled. In this way, there is no desire left. Then, there is the next one. A grateful person, a greatness, a guru druha, it says that someone who is not grateful. You may give to this person something, but he says, okay, thank you. He's not grateful. And then there is finally the last category, that's the envious people. These are neutral lovers. They don't reciprocate for the Gopi Sata. They were thinking, what will he say now? Then Krishna said, my dear gopis, I'm not in any of these four categories. The reason I do not immediately, this is text 20, immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. In other words, Krishna sometimes disappears from us so that we hanker more for him. That's the reason why he doesn't recite for his Abhida. And then Krishna praises the gopis. He says, my dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you have rejected the authority of worldly opinion. I mean, a girl who leaves the family, the dead of night, to go somewhere, she's socially dead. You've rejected even the Vedas and your relatives. I have understood this. And I acted as I did, that means disappeared, only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I removed myself from your sight, by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, Krishna excuses himself, please do not harbor any bad feelings towards me, your beloved. In other words, Krishna says that you did something, the acharyas say in one place, which I have even not done. I have not left Mother Yashoda and my family. You have left the family. You are much stronger than me. You've left everything for me to serve me. Please don't have that feeling. I just want to increase that love which you have already to the pitch. That is the mood of separation. You can now understand why Lord Krishna disappeared from Lord Chaitanya in Kamala Prashala, and why Lord Chaitanya carried this mood of Krishna, where are you, into Navadvipa, and then started the Sankirtan movement, which we are a branch of. It's a movement for the separation. It's a movement which picks up on this verse, Tavakatamritam Taptajivanam. Those who soothe the separation, who give the conditioned souls love for Krishna, they are the greatest miracle workers. To give you a simple example, some of you, all of you have become initiated and gotten initiation beads. And there's one devotee, I think, who has already lost 5 times the beads on which the spiritual master chanted. So the first time when that happened, he had so much separation. He looked everywhere for the bead. The fifth time, he just comes. I remember when this happened to me, I was initiated already 20 years or so. Prabhupada had left the planet, and then I lost my beads. I was on a bicycle going to, we had a long bridge tour, and I went into the forest to read and chant a little of peace, and somewhere in the forest from the bicycle fell my initiation. And for 2 weeks, every day, I drove from the Heidelberg Temple all the way up the mountain and back to look for those beads. And then I made Insaratin, put something in the paper. Have you seen my decoration beads? You know, they're very, very different. They're from the person I love the most, you know. Make it clear that these are very important to me in a language which people understood. And I remember 2 weeks, I could only dream of it. I saw beef, dreamt of beef. Eating, I thought of the beef and so on. So this is what Krishna does. Why he has disappeared from the Radha then. And then he ends this chapter by a very famous verse. He says, your love for me is so big that I can't do anything. I'm not able to repay my debt for your spotless service. Even within a lifetime of Brahma, I can't respond. Your connection